It'll be an interesting mix of things, all the way back to the 15th century, which is reaching a long way
Well,
back.
let's get to the program. And she begins with works by Antonio de Cabezón from the 16th century.
Correct. Cabezón, Renaissance composer, organist. Very little is known about him, really, except the fact that, as a young child, he was blind. And he rose very quickly to prominence, wound up getting a job working for the Queen of Spain, and he was organist in the court chapel, worked for the royal family most of his life. He's important historically in keyboard literature because of the variation sets that he wrote. In Spanish, they're titled diferencias, and kind of interesting sets. He wrote nine of them in all, and Luisa will be performing one of those. This is a set containing five variations, and they're some of the earliest examples of that particular musical form, and they had far-reaching influence on other composers, particularly English composers who were also famous for writing variations. Kind of a neat thing about the sets is that he doesn't bother to present the theme. He just starts right out with the first variation and writes variations after that, assuming that everybody would know the tune upon which it was based.
Would that be true of his audiences back then? Or
probably.
They were
They would
well-versed
have
in
known the tunes. They were usually drawn from popular Spanish music.
And so let's go to the next composer in the program that is not anonymous, unless you have something to say
I don't,
about
no, I
anonymous.
really don't have anything to say about anonymous composers.
Nothing that everybody else doesn't know already.
The thing that is interesting about on these early programs, so often you see works that aren't attributable to any specific composer that we know. There are so many incredible gems in the repertoire that are just hidden away, and it takes a real musicologist and a real scholar like Luisa to unearth some of these things and find them. And she's some of these things that she's found have never really been performed before. So it's kind of exciting to hear these.
Let's say some a debut
Yeah.
from it's been waiting for 400 years. So Antonio Valente, he was blind in childhood as well.
Another blind composer, right? From Naples, an Italian composer this time. Very little is known about him either. He was a composer and an organist. Most of the keyboard players at this time in history also played both harpsichord and organ. But he was able to build a successful career as a composer and a performer. And about the only thing we know is that it's thought he died around 1601.
Fascinating. Well, we can go to a composer that is much better known.
Another Italian-born composer. I think you're heading up towards Scarlatti,
I am.
Back in familiar territory here.
You've sniffed out my route. Yes.
Scarlatti was born in Naples in 1685. He had a very famous father, Alessandro Scarlatti, famous for Neapolitan opera,
Of
a great
course.
opera composer. Domenico worked in both Naples and Rome for a while and eventually found his way to Lisbon. And while he was working in Lisbon, became music teacher to Princess Maria Barbara. And when Maria Barbara became engaged to be married to the heir of the Spanish throne, Scarlatti followed his pupil to Madrid and wound up spending most of his creative life in Spain. He's a very prolific composer, wrote over 550 sonatas. Most of them were written for Maria Barbara, or many of them at least. And she's the one who initially kind of collected his works and preserved them. A lot of Scarlatti's works show really strong influences of Spanish dance music, and I know Luis has done a lot of research into that particular area and found certain Scarlatti sonatas that mirror beat for beat certain patterns in traditional Spanish dances.
How about Padre Antonio Soler?
Antonio Soler was ordained a priest, and hence the name Padre Antonio. His works really form a bridge between late Baroque and early classical styles. Scarlatti was most likely his teacher, and I think Soler's works closely resemble the works that were written by Scarlatti. He is best remembered as a composer for his keyboard sonatas. He wrote at least 150 of them, so again, a very prolific composer. I read one time that he was something of a workaholic, you know, putting in 20-hour work days, and was still able to compose over 500 works during his lifetime. And so he must have been an extremely diligent and hardworking man.
A mathematician and an instrument builder.
Right.
That's right. So you take after his heart.
I think, Jim. It's certainly a warm spot for instrument builders.
Which brings up a question. Is Luisa going to be performing on the harpsichord that you built?
To be honest, I'm not sure which of the instruments Luisa is going to use. She's most likely going to use the French double instrument that is owned by the department. It was built by Ed Kotick in 1983. Very beautiful French double harpsichord. But she may also use one or both of the other instruments that the department owns. We have a small Italian virginal and a large unfretted German clavichord that I built with a group of students during various May term courses in, I think it was 2005, and the other one was built in 2013. And so I'm not sure which instruments she's going to choose. Once she gets here, she'll play them all and try them and decide what she wants to play on.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping she uses a couple of different ones, but we'll see.
Well, it'd be fun to hear the variants in it.
It would.
The instruments. Yeah.
And the concert's going to be in the Levitt Gallery, which is an ideal space for this kind of an instrument. It's very intimate music. Mm-hmm. I think it might get a little lost in the big cavernous space in Epley.
Thank you so much. Oh, and why don't we mention that the next year of recitals is already in the works.
It is in the works. We have three very exciting performances already scheduled. In September, we'll be having a young Korean pianist, Yaekwon Sun-woo. He's been winning competitions all over the world. One of his more recent victories was at the William Capel competition. In November, Andrew Rousseau is going to return to Morningside. Andrew's been our guest many times, one of our favorite pianists to have back. And then I'm very excited, in March, we're going to have Alan Chow come and perform. Alan is world-renowned pedagogue and virtuoso performer. He's on the faculty of Northwestern University in Evanston. And it's really going to be a lot of fun to have Alan here.
Fantastic. What a year ahead, and still one great to go for this year.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, thank you again.
Thanks, Mark. Mm-hmm.
I've been talking with Dr. James March, professor of music at Morningside College. Luisa Morales' recital begins at 7:30 p.m. tomorrow in the Levitt Gallery. For FM 90, I'm Mark Munger.